I want to introduce you to a new friend. His name is Alex Ditto. Alex just joined our team. He's a resident. He'll be overseeing our high school, college, and young adult ministries, mainly gathering those demographics into small groups to help them become disciples and grow as disciples. Alex just graduated from CU Boulder. Congratulations, Alex. He comes out of Jason's ministry. Jason began a campus ministry, and you came to faith and grew as a disciple through that ministry. Mm-hmm. Does that make Jason like your spiritual grandfather?
Something like that.
Yeah. Something like that. Okay. Alex is desiring in the future to start a church in a 1040 window country, which means a country that has little or limited access or no access to the gospel. So that means you'll likely be translating the scriptures into a different language and starting a church there. Alex, we're so grateful to have you on the team. And I'm so grateful to our church because we did a year in offering back in December, and we raised money for your position. So, Restoration, thank you so much. Alex is here today because of your generosity. Alex, I know you're very passionate about small groups and how people grow in small groups. Can you tell us a little bit of your story about how God has used small groups to help you grow as a disciple?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks, Ron. So, a little bit about my story. I came to faith in college through a guy in my fraternity who just shared the gospel with me. So discipleship and groups are honestly so personal to me, just because that's how I came to know Jesus and how I came to follow him. The first group I was ever in was at the CU dining hall. The guy that led me to faith and a couple other guys just got us together, and we just started where we're at. And like, this group was so impactful just because it was so relevant to where I was at spiritually, where all of us were at. I was a brand new follower of Jesus, so we just talked about the basics of like what it looked like to read the Bible on our own, how to pray, how to hang out in fellowship with other believers, and just how to share our faith. So this group was so impactful to me because it's just like what I needed to hear on where I was at. And it's just something about being in a group with guys like that, my own age, guys in the same area of life who are eager to grow with Jesus. I had tried doing some growth on my own, and I mean, you know how it is. It's just being in a group like that just made me more and more excited to grow and to pursue growth in my faith. And it was just fun. Like, these dudes were fun. And the more that we spent time in our group, the more we started to hang out outside of the group. And by the end of it, we were best friends and just like walking with Jesus in the dining hall in the mornings and then throughout our weeks. And actually, all those guys are about to be in my wedding. So it's just been so impactful for me with those relationships and just in my faith ongoing today.
Man, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
I can sense how contagious your faith is, Alex, and how you've caught it from other people. And so I'd love to pray for you. Can I do that?
Yeah.
Will you pray with me for Alex? Father, we thank you for Alex's story. We thank you for how you've brought him into your home, your house, your church, and how you've brought him specifically to our church. And we pray that you would use him to make hundreds of disciples through our high school ministry, college ministry, and young adult ministries. We pray that his faith, which is so contagious, would infect hundreds and hundreds of young people with the hope of Jesus Christ. We also pray that you use his time here to prepare him to plant a church in a country that is desperately in need of hope in the future. And we also pray for the women on our staff that they would stop being jealous of his amazing hair. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks,
brother. Take care. We began a series of messages last week titled Not Alone, and we learned that 47% of all Americans are more lonely now than they were before COVID-19 hit. And so we're facing dual pandemics right now, a pandemic that is economic and of health, a health crisis in nature, and then we have this other pandemic of loneliness. We're fighting them both at the same time, but as a church, we believe that our problems are God's possibilities, and that God wants to take this pandemic of loneliness and turn it into a pandemic of connection with himself and with people, with each other. And a passage that speaks to this very deeply that has impacted me this last week is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 21 in the message. I want to encourage you, wherever you are, to just slow down a little bit and listen to this passage and let the words of God wash over you. It says, you're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here. You belong here. With as much right to the name Christian as anyone, God is building a home. He's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. Did you catch that? Two things that really stand out to me. The first one is that everyone is welcome in God's home. It doesn't matter the color of your skin or the magnitude of your sin. It doesn't matter who you voted for, who you didn't vote for, what your ideology is or isn't. It doesn't matter if you're religious or irreligious, agnostic, atheist, Jew, Gentile. It doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome in God's home. And so welcome. You're in a home called Restoration Community Church. It's a part of God's bigger home, which he calls his church all over the world. Welcome. You're wanted here. You're welcome here. No matter what you've done or haven't done, what you believe or what you don't believe, you're welcome here. And so welcome home. The second thing this passage is teaching us is that we are God's home. Every one of us is like a brick or a stone in God's house. He calls it the church, but we're all a part of it. Every one of us, it says, has the right to call ourselves Christian if we've gone through the door that is Jesus Christ. What is being said to us is every one of us has a place in God's home. We need each other. We need God and we need each other. So here's what I sense in this passage. It's drawing us towards connection because we are made for connection, but we trend towards isolation. Every time we go to social media, we experience this, don't we? You go to social media, you go to, you know, Instagram or Facebook or TikTok or whatever your favorite, you know, channel is, and you get on there and you go, man, I want to get connected. I want people to know me. I want to know people. But so often when we get off social media, we feel more isolated than ever. We think about how we posted a picture with ourselves and our dog on top of a mountain and how we got like 10 likes. And the week before, our friend did that and they got 100 likes or hearts, whatever you're looking at, whatever metric you're measuring, like, what's up? Or we get online and we see there's a party at someone's house and we weren't invited. And we feel lonely because we were isolated from that party, that opportunity. Or maybe you're me and now you're being compared to every pastor in our country. You're being compared to the best of the best. And you realize Andy Stanley last week had 5 million likes on his message and I had like 5 likes. And you start thinking to yourself, I just need to go door to door and sell like hand sanitizer or something. I mean, isn't this human nature? We long for connection. We were made for connection, but we trend towards isolation. And so we've got a fight in front of us. If we want to be a part of God's pandemic of connection right now, which I truly believe that is what he's up to, we've got to fight against isolation and we've got to fight for connection. And there's 3 things we can do to be in the fight. First one is, we've got to remember God's goodness. We remember that God is good because if we believe that God is good and we remember his goodness in our past, we'll draw near to him and we'll be more connected to him. But if we doubt his goodness, we'll draw away from him. We'll pull away and we'll pull away therefore from other people. A story that I love about God's goodness and his faithfulness is the story of Jacob. We talked about Jacob and Esau a few weeks ago in a message. If you weren't there, Jacob was on the run. Esau made a vow to kill him. And so he went to live with his uncle Laban, and he was out in the middle of the wilderness somewhere. Scholars have no idea where. And he was in such a rush. He just grabbed like his little knapsack, you know, and he took off and he had just some fruit and some bread, but not even a pillow. And so it says that he took a stone and he went to sleep with a stone underneath his head for a pillow. Hopefully it was bigger than this. That stone represented his anxiety, his fear, the uncertainty that he faced, possibly depression. And in the middle of the night, while he was sleeping on that stone, God transformed it. Jacob had a dream. And in the dream, he saw this staircase coming down from heaven, and God was at the top of the staircase. And God spoke to him. And he said, Jacob, I'm with you. I'm with you in your pain. I'm with you in your uncertainty and your anxiety. I am with you. And then he proclaimed a blessing over Jacob. The same blessing he proclaimed over his son, or his father rather, Isaac, and his grandfather, Abraham. He said, Jacob, I want to use you to create a great nation. And through that nation, I want to bless all nations. And we know that promise, that proclamation over his life was fulfilled because of Jesus Christ, the Messiah who came out of Israel to bring salvation and abundant life, eternal life, to the whole world. Well, the next day he got up, and it says in Genesis chapter 28, verse 16, and then 18 and 19, that Jacob said, surely the Lord is in this place. He's right here. He's right here with me right now. And I was not aware of it, And then early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, which means house of God. So the stone that represented his suffering, his anxiety, his depression, his uncertainty, his fears, became this memorial to God's goodness and God's presence in his life. And he poured oil over it and named it Bethel, the house of God. Well, maybe you've got some stones that God needs to transform. Maybe your stone represents a cat that passed away. Don't worry about that. Maybe the stone you're carrying around your bag is a stone that represents a breakup in the past. You broke up with a girl or a guy or vice versa, and you wonder, where was God in that? And it's caused you to doubt God's goodness because you're like, I thought that was the one, and it wasn't. Maybe your stone is a stone that represents addiction. Maybe you're addicted right now to Amazon, to shopping on Amazon. Maybe it's an addiction to working out. Maybe you have an addiction to fear. Maybe it's an addiction to pornography or some substance. And you're wondering, will God actually help me get free? Is he with me in the midst of my addiction? Or maybe your stone represents a financial crisis that you're going through right now or in the past, and you're wondering, was God with me or is he with me right now? You've lost your job. Your company has put you on furlough, and you're wondering, is God with me in the midst of this financial crisis? Well, God loves to take our stones that represent our doubts and turn them into stones that represent faith in his goodness, just like he did with Jacob. He wants to transform our stories and help us see him in our stories. Jesus did this. Jesus on the cross, he went through what we go through. His stone was his cross, and on that cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you right now? Where are you right now in my pain and my suffering? But God transformed the cross. He rolled away a stone in front of a tomb, and the tomb was emptied, and God poured out his love, his grace, and his salvation out of that tomb into the world. He filled the world with the grace and the love of God made available to us through Jesus Christ. God loves to take our stones of doubt and turn them into stones of faith in his goodness. We have to remember that God is good when we're struggling and going through seasons of uncertainty, so we'll draw near to God and be connected to God and therefore have more capacity to be connected to each other. If we're going to fight isolation and fight for connection, we have to remember that God is good. Second thing we can do is we can recognize that we need each other. We desperately need each other. Back to this passage in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, it says, now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. So again, God uses this analogy of his house, and he says, you are my house. You are my house. The church has left the building, but as we've said for many years at Restoration, the church never was a building. I personally believe that the church is stronger than ever. The early church, they met in homes, and there was a diaspora because of persecution. They were scattered all over the world. I believe God is scattering us all over the world, but keeping us connected digitally so we can bring his message of hope out into the world. But we have to recognize we need each other. You need us. We need you. I need you. I need you. And maybe you need me. That's true throughout the church. I've got a house that's made of bricks. You know, if a few bricks were missing, my house would be significantly compromised. You know, bad weather would get in my house. Perhaps my house would fall down. That's how important every single one of us is in God's house. We're the bricks, we're the stones that hold the house together. We need each other. We need each other. We have to recognize this need. I talked to a young lady this last week, and she's at a crossroads in a relationship with a young man. And she's trying to decide if she should go forward or not, and so is he. And I asked her, I said, does he have wise men around him? Men who love him, men who love God, helping him make good judgment calls in this very critical season of his life. And sadly, she said no. So often I hear that. I hear couples at a crossroad, and I'll ask them, do you have people in your life that are helping you make good decisions? And so often they say no. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. My paraphrase of that verse is, your friends are either messing you up or your friends are building you up. It's always good for us to pull back once in a while and evaluate, what kind of friends do we have? Something we've been saying for years here at Restoration is, you're the average of your five closest friends. Are your friends the kind of people that won't judge you, but they'll help you make good judgment calls? You know, life is just a series of decisions about, we're going to go to school, we're going to do after we graduate, what job to take or not to take, who to marry, who not to marry, what to do with our resources, how to discover the meaning of our life, the purpose of our life, you know, our part in God's kingdom. We all are just the product of one decision after another, and it's so important that we have people in our lives that love us, who love God, who have good judgment, but they're not going to judge us and condemn us when we make mistakes. We need each other. We must recognize our need for each other. And the way we get really connected here at Restoration is the way the church has always got connected, through small groups. For years, the church never even had buildings. They met in homes, and they would meet together and eat together and love each other and get in the scriptures together and build each other up. In a few moments, I want to talk to you about some new groups here at Restoration and how you can get connected, because we need you and you need us. If we're going to fight against isolation and fight for connection, we have to remember that God is good, and we have to recognize our need for each other. And then one last thing, we have to release the power of our stories. Back to stones. David, he took a stone and he put it in a slingshot. You likely know this story. And with that one stone, he had a bag of stones, but that one stone, he slayed the giant that was Goliath. And we often fail to realize just the gravity of that story. I mean, David and Goliath were not fighting over pink slips. They were fighting for their nations. They were fighting for the longevity of their nations. David won. He slayed the giant. And we don't talk about Philistia anymore, but we still talk about Israel. Well, every one of us, we have some stones that represent our stories. And God wants to use our stories to slay other people's giants. So he wants us to keep these stones, keep them in our bag, just like David kept stones in his bag. And that stone that represented that breakup, well, somebody else is going through a breakup in our church. And they could use your story right now. They would love to hear how being single after the breakup helped you grow spiritually and prepare you for God's plan for you in the future. They'd love to hear if you later met somebody and now you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I didn't get married to that person. I'm so glad I married this other person instead. They need the power of your story to give them hope and to help them feel like they are not alone. Others of you, you are recovering from an addiction, or you have recovered, you got 10, 20, 30 years of sobriety. Well, other people in our church are wrestling with addictions and they need you to release the power of your story on their behalf. They need to know that God wants them to find freedom. They need to realize they're not alone with their addiction, that you're going to help them. They need your story. So keep that story in your bag. You never know when God's going to need it to slay someone's giant of addiction. Maybe it was that financial crisis in the past, or maybe it's just God's present in the midst of a current financial crisis you're going through. Lots of people are going through financial setbacks right now. They need to hear how either you made a comeback in the past or how you're getting through that crisis right now with God's help. It's a story you have that God wants to release to slay the giant of other people's financial crises. We've all got stories that have power to them, stories of God's goodness, stories of God's redemption, that if we'll use our stories to help other people not feel alone, and they'll help other people believe that God is good and he has good plans for their life. I've got a friend named Matt Crow, and if you're newer to Restoration, 2 years ago, he broke his back in a mountain bike riding accident. And if you could see the x-ray, it literally looked like this. His spine was parallel. And God did a miracle. He used the surgeons, but even the surgeons would say, Matt should have died or at least be a quadriplegic for the rest of his life. Well, God supernaturally healed Matt Crow. And then Matt, a year later, he did the triple bypass, which if you're in another part of the country or another part of the world, is a brutal, brutal bike ride up in the mountains. He finished it with the help of some other people here at Restoration. And they created a documentary about his journey. And in the show notes, show notes of this message on our app, we will give you the link to Matt's story. You can watch the documentary. I highly recommend it. It will inspire you. Matt is releasing the power of his story. He is slaying giants in other people's lives. God's using him to slay the giants in other people's lives of loneliness and hopelessness. He's helping people believe that God can heal them. All of us have a story. Let's use them. Let's use the power of our stories. Let's release their power to slay the giants in other people's lives. Because my friends, God has made us for connection, but we trend towards isolation. And so we got to fight back. We got to fight for connection, fight against isolation. How do we do that? By remembering that God is so, so good. He's always up to something really, really good in our lives. And by recognizing that we need each other, we're the stones, we're the bricks that make God's house. And then by releasing the power of our stories into each other's lives. There's never been a better time to get connected here at Restoration. What the enemy means to use to harm us and isolate us, God wants to use for connection. And so we've got 55 small groups at Restoration. We've said for years now, it's not church until you have a few friends. I used to say, you have to get out of the rows and into the circles. Now I'll just say, you have to get off your couch and into community, but it's never been easier. You don't have to fight traffic. You don't have to worry about childcare. You can just show up with a shirt on, hopefully wear something else, but it's just that easy. Just get online and you can join one of our small groups. Now, if you're in a small group, thank you so much for connecting with other people in our church. But if you're not in a small group, you can go to our groups page on our website or on our app. Now, we've got a number of groups that are open right now, but on top of that, we're starting 10 new groups right now. And so you can just fill out the form, tell us a little bit about yourself, and one of our staff members will reach out to you and be your personal concierge to get you connected to the right new small group. Now, these groups are only 30 minutes long, and we spend most of our time just getting to know each other and like taking care of each other a little bit of content. So just 30 minutes. And if even that sounds intimidating, the idea of committing for 6 weeks, just try it once. Just try it one time. I promise you, you're going to love it. We were made for connection, but we trend towards isolation. Let's fight back. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you made us to be connected to yourself, and you made us to be connected to each other. And so this week, help us fight back. We believe as a church, you want to create a pandemic of connection between people and their Heavenly Father and people with each other. And so help us do our part. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I would be amiss if I didn't take a few moments and talk to those of you who don't feel connected to God right now. You're not sure you're part of God's house. Maybe you've never received what Jesus Christ has done for you. Little background on homes in the first century, they all had a cornerstone. That's referenced in Ephesians chapter 2. The cornerstone was the beginning of the foundation. It set the lines for the house. It was the strongest part of the house. It was the safest part of the house. When there was a storm or a flood, people would head towards the cornerstone for safety. Well, Jesus Christ came into the world to make you safe from the storms of life, and to give you eternal life, and to teach you how to live your life right now so that you can flourish as a human being. And so if today you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I want to invite you right now to pray with me and receive his salvation. Jesus, right now I give you my life for yours. I believe that you went to the cross to unleash God's love and grace upon me. And so right now I receive your salvation. I make you the cornerstone of my life. You are now my safe place. You're my king. I give my life to you, and I ask that you not only make me or make you my way to God, but that you would teach me your ways in terms of how to live my life in the here and now. This is my prayer. If it's your prayer, say amen. Just say amen right now. And if you're watching online, please just raise your hand in the chat. Let the pastors know that you just made the most important decision of your life. You just gave your life to Jesus Christ. They'll help you take some next steps in your journey. If you're watching on Facebook Live or on YouTube, or you've recorded this and you've just received Jesus Christ, please reach out to me. My address, my email address is on our website. It's ron@restorationcc.us. I would love to celebrate with you, pray with you, and help you take some next steps in your spiritual journey. Thank you so much for being with us today. I want to encourage you to come back next week for the third part of Not Alone. Love you guys so very much.